रामाय राम भद्राय रामचंद्राय वेदसे रघुनाथाय नाथाय सीताय पतये नमः. अयोध्याकांड चैप्टर नंबर 97. रामा काम्स लक्ष्मण. He was beside himself with fury and all eager to begin the fray. Rama saw it high time to check his vengeful spirit and said, Supremely wise and intelligent is Bharata and a hero of heroes. When he has come to fight us in his own person, discarding any substitutes, what purpose shall our weapons serve us? Do I crave for the world's censure which waits to proclaim, Dasharatha orders his boundless affection, bestow the crown on Bharata. Rama slew him out of spite and disappointment and usurped the throne. Have I not given my plighted word to fulfill my sire's promise to Kaiki and keep his name and fame unsoiled by an untruth? If I kill Bharata in battle, what shall I do with the kingdom? Fie upon the wealth and power brought by the blood of kinsmen and friends. Would any cast a look upon poisoned sweetmeats? I seek pleasure, wealth and righteousness, nay the sovereignty of this earth, but for my brothers. It is the veriest truth. If I ever harbor any desire for the crown of Kosala, it is more that you should enjoy the sweets of royal power and boundless luxury. I swear it upon my weapons. It is a trifle for me to make myself the master of this world. But the throne of Indra is abhorrent to me if I have to ascend it upon the steps of unrighteousness. If my heart ever prove traitor to my brothers and seek any joy or pleasure for itself, may heaven's curse blast it into nothing. Let be. Why should we misunderstand Bharata's motive in coming here? He came back from his uncle's place to Ayodhya and was duly informed of what happened in his absence. Sumitra might have told him that we abide in this forest. Boundless in his love and affection to me, I hold him as something dearer than my own life. He knows very well that in our house, the eldest son inherits the throne. His heart would bleed to hear that I undergo any hardship of privation in the wild woods. So it is plain to me that he comes here to take me back to Ayodhya and with no hostile intent. He has let loose his fiery wrath upon poor Kaiki and has pierced her heart with his cruel words. He has somehow persuaded our sire to place me upon the throne and has come here to pray my acceptance of it. It is but meet that Bharata should come to see us now. Never in his wildest dreams has a shadow of any evil to us crossed his heart. Now why do you suspect Bharata? Had you any harm or injury at his hands till now? Or did he at any time give expression to words that have aroused such misgivings in you? Speak not of Bharata thus cruelly and scornfully. You revile me when you revile him. Some time ago you were all afire to slay our sire. Now Bharata's turn is come and much evil will ensue if I let things run thus. Master this cruel, revengeful spirit anyhow. Would anyone contemplate the death of his father, though the direst dangers and difficulties tempt his soul to it? Would anyone point his sword at the heart of him who came into the world along with him, who is flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone? Is your heart set upon the crown that he speaks of? Wait till Bharata comes here. I shall get it from him. If I but say in jest, Bharata, Lakshmana would wear the crown, give it to him. He will take me at my word and never bestow a thought upon the throne ever after. Thus in many a wise did Rama seek to calm his raging spirit. The gentle and loving accents of Rama made Lakshmana shrink within himself with shame. Yet it was not self-interest that made him speak so. Rather, Rama's welfare and the earnest desire to ward off harm and sorrow from him. He feared and suspected Bharata, though he had no reason to do so. When our word goes for nothing, we try to change the topic. So Lakshmana, now thoroughly ashamed of himself, said to Rama, It may as well but our father come to take us back to Ayodhya. Quick to observe and adapt himself to the changing circumstances, Rama accepted his suggestion. Yes, it is extremely probable that His Majesty has deigned to pay us a visit in our lowly abode. Or He may come to take us back to the capital, thinking upon the dangers and difficulties that might befall us in the woods, saying to Himself quite naturally, "My children have been brought up in the lap of luxury and comfort and are not made to rough it in the wild woods." Or He may have repented of having allowed Sita to accompany us here and have come down to take her back, for she has no call to expose herself to the discomforts and perils of long years in Dandaka, an utter stranger from her very birth to anything but affluence and happiness. Yonder come the two horses, fleet as wind, that are always yoked to His Majesty's chariot. There I see the state elephant, Shatrunjaya, marching in advance of the army like a mountain in motion, tossing about his limbs in mad rut. But one thing causes me sore misgiving. I perceive not the snow-white umbrella that is held aloft over our universally respected sire. Come down from your lofty perch and behave towards Bharata as I advised you. And Lakshmana stood at his side the next moment, his palms clasped in humble reverence. Meanwhile, Bharata ordered his troops to halt at the distance of half a yojana on either side of Chitrakuta, that they might not cause any annoyance or disturbance to the ashrama of his brother. Obedient to the orders of that wise and prudent prince, the army put away pride and unruliness from their hearts and stayed near Chitrakuta, anxious to win the esteem and approbation of Raghava. Mangalam Koshlendraya Mahaniya Gunabde Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhomaya Mangalam.